Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popwich. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing well. We've had some interesting conversations with clients this week, and I think it's imperative we talk about it to our audience because we're hearing and seeing more and more of this when it comes to people preparing their estate plans, mm-hmm. drawing up their wills. Parents are very giving or very good lenders, depending on how you look at it.
That's right.
And which how each party looks at it, right?
And so let me kind of paint the picture. We were reading a case that was a lawsuit. Father sued the son, claiming that money that was given or assets that was given was a gift or a loan. The father says it was a loan.
Right.
Son says it was a gift. Now, could you imagine if dad passed away,
right.
how much of a kerfuffle this would be in the estate, and if there's multiple beneficiaries and the executor has a headache and a migraine coming out of all this stuff and everything that could possibly happen. But gifts or loans are normal
right.
in
families.
In families, yep. right? So how do you put this all together? I think right. that's the key one that we want to talk about.
Okay, well, you know, we've got a great guest that's going to help us understand how to do this properly. Catherine Zhang is joining us again, a recurring guest on the show. Catherine's a partner with Welsh LLP. And Catherine, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, Dave and Faisal. Good to be here.
So let's talk about this idea of the, you know, this case I think shows the importance of documentation because it can get confusing between parties, right? And the last thing I think from an estate planning perspective any parent wants is to have to sue your child or create a fight in the family or confusion, right? But it happens, unfortunately, all too often. So, Catherine, help us understand a little bit about how to document these things. In this particular case, how do you make sure that two parties understand the difference between a loan and a gift?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the first thing that needs to happen is father and son, I would suggest, need to have a very clear conversation between the two of them about what the intention for the transfer of assets is. And then once the both of them have that clear understanding, it's although it's very good for the two parties to have that, we always suggest going that step further and having that intention documented. And depending on what happens, you either sign a promissory note or a loan document, which confirms that at the end of the day, this is an asset that's transferred to the son on a temporary basis. And the expectation is that father is going to receive that asset back or the same value. Or if father says, look, this has always been intended to be a gift. I really do not want for that asset to have to get paid back to the estate. Also document that. And it could be as simple as acknowledgement of a gift or a statement that whatever is happening is intended to be a gift. And then if and when you contact the lawyers, also make sure that as part of the estate planning process, you're flagging that with your lawyer to say, oh, I have this loan. And sometimes what parents will do is they'll say, I want the loan to be forgiven at the date of my death. So even though there is a request or there's an intention that during my lifetime, I want that loan to be paid in incremental amounts, on my death, it's forgiven and everybody starts with a clean slate. But without that documentation and without having that discussion with your lawyer and putting it in a document during your lifetime, but also your will, you know, there could be some confusion about what those intentions would be.
Catherine, very few times do we see families put pen to paper on these sorts of things. It's done over a kitchen table conversation. Mom, dad, I want to buy a house. And they're like, oh, we'll lend you some money. Pay us whenever you can. Or they want to help out as much as they can. Grandbabies cause a big monkey wrench in the program between gifts and loans. The pandemic caused some concerns from parents for saying, we'll lend you some money, give it back. But documentation is usually the last thing or at all even done. When it comes to that, do they need to put a lawyer together for this one? Because that's where it gets kind of, it makes it more of a transaction that is not family feel. It makes it look more of a business feel. If I'm gonna lend money to my daughter, as an example, how do I draw this up? Like, how do I make sure that, you know, it's still good for both parties, it keeps the family together, and it protects both sides in the event something goes wrong?
Here's what I'll say. I'll say some documentation is better than no documentation. But the caveat on that is you want to make sure that the document has the right mechanics in place. So if you have a document that says, I want to give a gift, that's great. That's better than having nothing. Yep. But sometimes we run into issues where a person is creating their own document and they just aren't aware of maybe some of the additional ins and outs that would be required, for example, for a promissory note. Do we have to pay attention to certain limitation dates? Do we have to put attention to enforcement provisions? And I'll put it this way. You're always able to do a document on your own. I wouldn't say it renders a document unenforceable. However, if you're going to go through that step, I would suggest, you know, go a step further and make sure it's properly put together and have somebody like a lawyer review it to make sure that it could be enforceable at the end of the day.
Catherine, is there a default that the courts look at? Is it when in a situation where I believe a loan to my daughter believes it's a gift, is there a default position that the courts look like at saying, no, this must have been a loan, but my daughter in this example would have to prove it was a gift? Or is it the other way around?
I think it depends on the facts arising. I think if money has been transferred, it's considered a gift in the lifetime, unless there's something else that goes toward, like, have there been monthly payments? Have there been statements? And I don't think that threshold is very high to automatically flip it over to say, oh yeah, well, maybe that there was an intention of dad or mom getting that money back. But at the end of the day, that would be evidence that the court would have to decide, and they would have to sift through, if there's no documentation, what else was there? Was there any money getting transferred back and forth? What were the testator's statements during that time period to other people?
And I think, to your point, I think you make a good point. I don't think people have to, you know, take what we're talking about today and for every little thing they do, you know, have a lawyer draft something up for them. But if it's material, like the case we were reviewing, there was a material amount of assets being transitioned.
There was money to buy a house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if it's material, yes, I think it's probably worthwhile having that done. And, you know, the little gifts that you give the kids along the way, well, you know, don't get crazy and, you know, start doing stuff like that.
And Catherine brings a good point about the legal side of it, but you'd also need to look at the tax side of it.
Correct.
Because if you pass money on to an adult child,
yep,
there might be some attribution rules that could apply,
right,
or might not, depending on the situation. So just giving away money, especially large sums of money,
yep,
when it's for a house, for income generation, for you know, whatever it may be,
yeah,
it needs to be documented and get advice from both legal and tax experts. When it comes to the will and drawing it up, Catherine, people will say to me, Faisal, I want this to be documented, but I don't want it in the will. I want it to be that, you know, there is some loans outstanding because I don't want each of the children to know how much money I've lent to each of them or how much I've gifted to them. I just want it to be documented that, you know, okay, everybody is on a clean slate, or whatever you've lent or whatever you've borrowed from me, you have to give back to me upon my death, without getting into the nitty gritty, the details, so the other kids don't know all the details of what happened. How does that kind of work out, or is it possible to do that?
It's absolutely possible to make a general statement in the will. I want all loans called in, or I want to forgive all loans. But for the first option, if you're saying, well, I want all the loans called in, at some point in time, your executor needs to have an idea of what those loans are and what's outstanding. So at that point, we just say, yeah, have a separate document. It doesn't have to be the will, but have it set aside so that if and when the time comes, your executor knows where to look, knows what documents to rely on, and knows how to figure out what amount is outstanding.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Okay, we've quickly run out of time, as we do on these very interesting and complex issues around families and estates and so on and so forth. Catherine, we want to thank you again for joining us and shedding some light and some wisdom on how to make those gifts or loans in an appropriate way.
Pleasure.
Okay, my friend, we have, you know, the whole experience of retirement involves not just the estate, the legacy bucket, but there's other things. There's income, cash flow, taxation, all of those things. And we're going to be talking about that at our upcoming seminar.
On Tuesday, November 7th at the Carriage House. And make sure you reserve your seats for this. Go to morethanmoneyready.com to register.
All right, join us after the break. We'll talk a little bit about the Treasury bond yields and how they've been affecting stock markets here on QR Calgary and More Than Money.